All right, we're back.
Hello. Welcome. We've all forgotten how to do it. It's been so long.
Yep, talking into a phone.
So a lot's happened.
We're now podcasting this episode from our new apartment.
From our kitchen table, from our island.
From these yellow chairs.
Yellow bar stools. From our own place.
And there are many hot dogs cooking in the air fryer.
There are many hot dogs cooking. We have art on our fridge. We have...
Open Mike's Hard Lemonade in the fridge.
We have a blue velvet couch. We have...
plants.
So many little plants hanging out in places that we actually get to see them, mm-hmm. which is nice. Patricia's doing great for everyone following along at home. She's growing, finally.
She's gonna be big and strong one day.
She's doing wonderfully. So we've been a little busy.
What's been up? What's happening with you?
You know most of the things because... I see you every day, and I live with you, and we drive to work together, and we go to work together, and
you're
we
come right. home we sleep together, and we shower together.
Yeah, you know, we wear these handcuffs all day, just around.
My ball, my chain, my beating heart.
I've been doing really well, I think, for the most part. I was sick for a little while, which always... You know me. That's not new. But I think I've been good. I like it, living here.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. I don't know if I've made that clear. I like it. I think we're having a great time. I think it's going really well.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really had any, like, particular meltdowns about it. It's just been fine. And I'm very happy. What about you? How you doing?
I have a therapist on Monday.
Woo!
Everyone,
I'm snapping.
Please.
I'm clapping. I'm throwing confetti.
I'm very excited about that.
I'm very excited for you.
I feel like this podcast has been me desperately for all the viewers and all the listeners. I've hoped we've all been in this together and trying to get Abby a therapist.
It's been a long time coming.
Where's my GoFundMe?
Like, you started trying to get back to therapy, like, a year and a half ago when mm-hmm. you found a therapist who fell asleep in your first meeting.
That was a real bummer.
Yeah. And from there, you've been repeatedly reaching out to therapists, only to be ignored and shot down. And told you have to pay $400 first.
Yeah. Seems kind of whack.
Yeah.
And my health insurance is, like, standard. So I imagine everyone goes through this.
Yeah, America, man.
Really sucks.
But,
therapist.
Finally.
That's exciting.
That's very exciting.
I'm excited.
Let's hope that she's good and doesn't fall asleep.
The bar
is so low.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had kind of opposite experiences trying to get into therapy, because I decided I'm going to therapy, mm-hmm. and about a week later, I had an appointment scheduled with a lady who's been great, and I've had no issues with whatsoever, and that was like October of last year. So we're coming up on almost a year.
What are you guys gonna do?
Gonna take Dana out to dinner. I don't know. So yeah, I started in October, got on antidepressants in December. It's only been uphill from there. Mm-hmm. We've been doing great. Lots happened.
Yeah.
10 out of 10, would recommend therapy. It helped. So I'm excited. I hope that your therapist is as cool as Dana. And
I'm really pulling for her. I don't know. I'm trying to set my expectations extremely low.
Yeah, fair.
But I'm also like, I'm a tornado of emotions, and I need someone to carry all this.
Yeah. I think you have a good chance with this one. The fact that she emailed you the forms and wants you to print them and do them ahead of time seems like a very forward-thinking thing to me.
True.
So that, that is promising.
I'm like, at least she's thinking about patients, because I don't think any of the other ones that I contacted, it's like, they don't need anything to live.
No.
They don't need anything.
No. God, I'm trying to think about, like, the paperwork I had to fill out. Dana's office had me fill out a whole, it was, like, a packet. And, like, there was obviously, like, the standard, like, info. Like, you get, like, your name and, like, have you been to therapy before and whatever. But then there was, like, a whole packet and it was, like, your disability level, essentially. And it was just, like, how much your bad mental health affects your life. Yeah. And it's, like, here's a list of things normal people can do. How well do you do them? And we never spoke about these numbers that it was like a test that you find in the back of a teen magazine where you have to like add the numbers yourself,
like out of 100 or something.
Yeah. So I don't really know how it went, but we never spoke about it. But I do think about it a lot because I'm like, wow, there was a lot of questions on that test that I was unable to answer. Yes, this is great. And I'm curious how it would compare it to now. Although, I suspect I still have more trouble functioning than most people. It's probably not as bad as it was.
I feel like I'd love to see the before and after test, because I'm for sure believe that you could have gotten a higher score now. Yeah.
I've leveled up.
Yeah, you got a job.
I did get a job. I moved out. I don't, like, lay in bed crying all day anymore. I do other things.
You have the strength to, like, get out of your lofted bed.
Yeah.
And that's
improvement.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Because it was a while. Mm-hmm. I was in that shit for a while. So, yeah. I'm excited for you.
Thanks. Me too. I keep telling everyone. I'm like, everyone needs to know. Everyone must know.
It's the accountability thing. It's like,
maybe, yeah.
I think it helps when other people know, because it's also, it's sort of, I know for me, I was like really relieved to tell everybody that I was going to therapy, because I'm like, okay, listen, I understand. It hasn't been great, okay? I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. And I'm doing something about it. So cut me some slack. Like, as soon as I started going to therapy, my parents instantly backed off about asking me about a job.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, thank fuck. It's like, yes, now that I'm going to a professional, we understand that the reason I haven't gotten a job isn't because I'm lazy, it's because I'm sick.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, it's very helpful to go to therapy, not just for the therapy itself, but so that you could tell other people I'm in therapy. And then they understand that you're not only, like, sometimes you might do things differently or be weird or be sad, mm-hmm. but they also understand that you're working on it.
Yeah, and it's, like, that's such a weird thing that it's still kind of, like, a show for other people.
Yeah.
Like, I know that's a weird thing to say.
But it is a little bit.
But it's, like, easier to say that than to unleash
right.
whatever else.
I feel like it's easier to tell people, yeah, I'm going to therapy than it is to say, yeah, I'm just really depressed.
Yeah, because it's, like, then they can judge you, right. kind of. Or you can judge yourself, or... Right. Yeah.
I don't know, it's a weird thing. But it's gonna be good.
I'm excited. I'm, like, going to art class every day for... Or once a week helped.
Yeah.
Can't imagine what I could do. Going to an actual mental therapist.
Yeah.
Once a week. That'd be great.
It is gonna be great. So I'm excited. Because it was rough for a little bit there.
Oh, yeah. I didn't have fun.
No.
No.
For, like, the first, what, the two and a half, three weeks that we lived here?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I want to say, like, honestly, starting, like, July.
Yeah, fair.
Like, July all the way to, like, maybe, yeah, 2-3 weeks up until August.
Yeah.
That was rough. That was probably, like, the worst I felt in a really long time.
Yeah.
And it's hard because it's, like, I don't know. It just kind of sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it super does.
It sucks, like, for you, and it, like, it sucks being that person around other people.
Yeah.
And, like, you, having to, like, be here, be essentially the only other person here while I'm like this was rough, I imagine. I don't know.
I mean, I can speak for me. It wasn't pleasant. It sucks seeing you like that. Like, it's not that it was hard on me. Like, I'm not gonna be like, oh, it was so hard to cope with you being sad. It's not like that. But it did suck, like, seeing you that miserable. That's our hot dogs.
They're ready.
I'm gonna get them. Talk for a second.
Okay. So, I think, like, I guess I'm excited to start therapy, and I really wanted to come back on here to talk about me pre-therapy, because I'm hoping I'll be able to look back at this and be like, wow, yeah, it sucked there for a bit, but, you know, with therapy and all these great other drugs and things, it's better than a lot. That was a sentence.
That was a
I was distracted
sentence.
By these hot dogs.
The hot dogs look fucking fantastic.
They really do. They look like pillows.
They do. They come out so good in this air fryer. If anybody has, I don't know how much it costs. I have no idea, and I'm never going to know. Oh, God. if anybody has the money it costs to buy one of these.
Jenna and Julian do.
Jenna and Julian, famous YouTubers, have the same air fryer as us. It's so fucking good. It cooks the food so good. That is a derailing of the conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So we both experienced depression very differently.
Oh, yeah. Super differently.
Yeah.
I'm going to get plates while we talk. I'm so hungry.
What do you think, like, what's your go-to depressive mood? I hate calling it a mood.
It is a mood.
It's a lifestyle.
It is. It's both. It can be both things.
True.
What do you want in your hot dogs?
I want hot sauce, I think.
Is it in here?
Mm-hmm.
This boy?
Yeah.
All right. This is how we do mental health. In this house.
Hot dogs. Hot sauce.
And mustard, too. Okay. A little monster. Sorry, I can't multitask.
We just want everyone to hear our apartment too.
Yeah, look at us roaming around. We're not just laying on Abby's floor, we're sitting up.
Yeah.
At chairs.
I love that for us.
that's progress right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my go-to depressed mood. I don't know, it's weird because it's like I pretty much just did depression for like a full 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Started, stopped, that's it. I didn't, like, have, like, depressive episodes. It was just, like, oh, this is all.
Mm-hmm.
This is all there is. Because, basically, after I graduated, I didn't do anything for 2 years. And in that time, somewhere along the way, the depression kicked in. And that's all there was.
There's definitely something to, like, big life changes that
oh, yeah.
fuck with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it, like, it was like, well, I have no idea. I had no plan whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a person who does well without a plan in general, because everything feels very big and daunting. I have to make several to-do lists a week in order to do just basic human tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably less the, like, depression, more the anxiety and other undiagnosed issues that I have. Although I imagine it's hard for anybody without a plan, but it's especially hard for me without a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I graduated, had absolutely no plan, and then didn't do anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't necessarily regret, because I don't think I was ready to do anything at that point, but I think I needed to get severely depressed in order to actually go to therapy for my anxiety, because
that was a big one.
Yeah. Because my anxiety is kind of the primary thing, and the depression was kind of the secondary thing that happened, because my anxiety kept me so, like, paralyzed
mm-hmm.
that I was unable to do anything, and then got severely depressed because I felt trapped in a cage of my own making. So yeah, it was pretty much just 2 years of, it took me a very long time to figure out it was the depression, because my depression was super duper physical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I thought I was, like, sick
It got delayed so much to get to that point.
Because my primary, symptoms were just, severe fatigue, severe brain fog, and, pain. Just, my whole body hurt. My whole body still hurts, but that's probably also from just lack of exercise, bad diet, and just generally sort of how I'm configured. But, I've never been an especially fit person, but it got really bad. It got to the point where just, I would lay in bed and my bones would ache. And then obviously it's hard to do anything when you're in pain and you're exhausted from being in pain. And, so I went to a bunch of doctors and was like, please fix my bones. And they're like, your bones are fine.
And this is the point where I moved in
around
this time. I think you had been graduated for a year, I think.
Really?
2016.
Yeah, it must have been because I graduated in May, and then you moved in
January.
So, yeah, it was, half a year after I graduated.
And, I had never seen you, every single day.
Yeah.
But you were, definitely in pain.
Oh, yeah, no, I was,
in physical pain.
I will continue to stand by the fact that, being depression,
mm-hmm.
is the most, debilitating, physical sensation that I've ever had. It hurt all the time. So at first, that my first instinct was not, oh, you're depressed, because I didn't feel depressed. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I thought depression felt like, but I wasn't especially sad. I wasn't angry. I wasn't suicidal. And that's what I thought depression was. I had seen all of my friends be depressed because I've had plenty of depressed friends.
Mm-hmm.
And my depression looked nothing like that. So I just thought I was sick. And it got worse and worse. And I got more irritable. That was a huge thing. I was a fucking bitch. I had no tolerance for anything. Because I'm just I feel like shit. Everybody don't look at me. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to see anybody. And just generally felt less and less like myself. And then I was finally okay, well, if the doctors are going to keep telling me I'm fine, then I might as well go to a therapist. Because I'm regardless of if I'm actually physically sick or if it's just my brain being sick, either way, I know I have an anxiety problem that's holding me back. And if I have depression too, so be it. Either way, a therapist can help me.
Did you think, did you have any, foresight that maybe it was, something mental that was affecting, the physical? Because you got so many doctors that basically said, no, you're fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, God, these hot dogs are good. Abby just instantly fell out of its little cocoon.
It's home.
I knew that, all the things that I was experiencing were, symptoms of depression, but I didn't think that was all that was going on, because a huge amount of my anxiety has always been hypochondria. Always. I've always thought I was dying. What was it? Last night, I was Googling just ridiculous medical things that I might have.
Because of the itching?
Yeah, because I'm just itchy all over. This is what I'm saying. It's crazy, and I know it's crazy.
No, it's not.
It is a little bit. I always think I'm dying. I'm never dying. It's always fine. But, being that, I was experiencing depression so physically, I thought it had to be something physical. But when you think about it, brain chemicals are physical. So even when I started therapy, I wasn't entirely convinced that I was just depressed. I figured maybe there was something else going on and I was also depressed. But after I went to therapy for a while and started feeling better and then got on any antidepressants and most of my symptoms disappeared, and oh, actually, it was just the depression this whole time, which is wild. But yeah, I went to therapy for 2 months and my therapist was like, hey, so your shit's fucked. Basically. Every week. Okay, so my therapist is really cool in that we were very, goal-oriented. Mm-hmm. First day, she's like, okay, what do you want to accomplish? And I made a list. And she said, okay, we're going to try to accomplish these things. And I'm like, cool. So, like, each time we would try to, like, get me steps closer to accomplishing the things that I wanted to accomplish, and it just was not happening. Like, I just couldn't fucking do it. Couldn't pull my shit together. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, well, you're trying, are you not? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm trying really hard. And she's like, and you can't do it? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, cool, do you want to take antidepressants? And I'm like, fuck it, let's give it a try. Because clearly, whatever I'm doing on my own is not working. Mm-hmm. And then pretty much all of my symptoms dissolved within 3 weeks. And I feel better than I've literally ever felt in my entire life. Because the depression sucked, but the anxiety has always sucked. And I was just used to living like that. So it's been grand to not it's been grand to not be severely anxious all the time about everything, always. And I think you can attest that I am far from like a normal person, like capital N normal, because I still do and need a lot of weird shit, which is something Dana refuses to diagnose me. She just won't do it, and that's fine. But there's certainly other brain shit going on with me at any given point. But thankfully, without the anxiety and the depression, I'm much more functional. I'm able to actually, like, talk to people, do things. And, like, you can attest to this. You've known me for so long, and you've probably seen me in the last 8 months do things that I've never done before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Even just, like, because we took two trips. We went to Washington, D.C. this mm-hmm. January, and the previous January, we went to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Two entirely different people.
I know.
Like, I mean, obviously, we both were, but I mean, like, the activity level is, like, night and day difference. Like, the things that you are able to do now versus, like, what you were able to do then, it was, like,
sorry, these hot dogs.
It was, like, transformative.
Yeah. And that's how it feels. Like, it fully feels like I have come out of a cocoon that I've just been in forever. Which is so cheesy.
No.
But it's true.
And but, like, I mean, like, it's came out, like, different parts of your personality were able to come out, yeah. I think, because, like, you do and say things and, like, react differently than you used to.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know if that attests to any, like, sort of, but you're definitely more spontaneous, like,
yeah.
You're more open, like, you're more open to having fun.
Yes.
And I mean, like, fun as in, like, going outside to see crabs or, right. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, very, yes. Like, relatively smaller things, but things that you weren't able to do before.
Yeah, absolutely, because I was just so anxious. Like, all of that, like, being able to have fun was something that always took so much work, because no matter what it was, no matter how routine a thing was, I had to dig through, like, 6 layers of anxiety to get to the part where I was enjoying myself. And at that point, it's exhausting. Like, you're spending, you know, 75% of your energy fighting yourself to do it, and then you're not even there to have fun anymore, because mm-hmm. you're working so hard on not freaking out. So it's like, it's been so freeing to get to just put that weight down and use it for anything else. Mm-hmm. Like, any other allotment of energy. And I honestly have been able to have fun in a way that I didn't ever. I didn't ever know how to relax. Like, I didn't know what it was like to feel calm or okay until, like, 6 months ago. Like, it's unbelievable, and it makes me, like, sometimes I get upset that I lived, like, so much of my life that distressed just all the time about everything. But mostly I'm just relieved that I don't have to do that anymore, because it's so fucking good. It's so good. I want everybody, like, this is the thing, I want everybody to feel the way that I feel now, because it's just such a relief. And I know I have so many friends who deal with anxiety and depression and everything, But I'm like, it doesn't have to be like that. Like, I hope you know it doesn't have to be like that. It can be different. And because I didn't know it could be different. I had no idea that I could, like, live, be calm, be happy. I didn't know that was, like, I didn't know that was an option. I had no idea. I was prepared to spend the rest of my life living the only way I knew how, which is by just my teeth, you know?
I think what's hard about that kind of is, I guess, like, trying, like, their first, like, medication, if it doesn't work, that's, like, that hurts.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I think, like, I think it's, like, harder to, like, keep trying different ones.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
In that
imagine.
Sort of instance, like, that, but I do believe that, like, things can change drastically, yeah. like, how you did, kind of. Like, I think it can happen. And it does. I think it just, like, medications are so weird. Brains are so weird.
No, listen, yeah, so the medication is a whole different thing, where, like...
And I don't even know how much of it is medication, or, like, do you know what I mean?
I know for some people, therapy is enough. And that they're able to, like, learn enough coping skills to, like, sort of lessen that, like, stress on them. For me, I know that a lot of it is chemical. I can just tell because I, like I said, I did the therapy thing for a couple months and it wasn't really doing much to help. And it was like a switch was flipped as soon as I started taking the antidepressants. And since then, whenever I've had to adjust my dosage, I can tell immediately because I will immediately go back to feeling the way that I did like 2 years ago. Like that happened also like, what,
Never
this month?
Late June?
Last month?
Early
I don't know
July.
When. Yeah, that happened recently where I had to, like, up my dosage because it stopped working. And, like, Lexapro is a really quick drug where it's, like, once it's in your system, it's in there. But once it's out of your system, it's out. And I could tell that it had, like, that my body had adjusted to it and whatever. But, like, I know that, like, I also got very lucky that the first drug that I took was one that didn't give me any really, like, bad side effects. I mean, I have some, but they're not, like, they're way worth it. I would take ringing in my ears and occasional vertigo any day. you know, so I got really lucky with that as well, because it's, like, if I had to try a bunch of different medications, I don't know if I would have. Because at that point, like, on one hand, how much lower can you really get? Which, I mean, obviously, there's always worse you can feel, but I was really lucky that I was never suicidal or anything like that, and that's things that can happen if you fuck with the wrong drugs. So it's like, you know, that would have scared me off, probably, especially since so much of my anxiety is very, like, physical and very, like, health-oriented with the hypochondria and whatnot. The idea of taking a drug that, like, worsened me would have probably put me off medication for I don't know how long.
But I think that's cool that, I think it's cool, not that that's cool, I think that's cool that, like, you even made the decision to go to therapy to begin with, because you had such, like, a past with it.
Yeah.
Where, like, possibly medications did technically fuck you up more. So it's, like, I wonder, like, how much of you, like, went to therapy, like, fully just accepting that whatever was gonna happen was gonna happen.
Well, yeah, because honestly, like, deciding to go to therapy was when I had exhausted every other resource that I had available to me. It was a complete last resort. I really didn't want to fucking do it because I had been in therapy before, and when I was, like, once in elementary school, once in middle school, and by once, I mean, I don't mean, like, I went once. I mean, I went to therapy, like, for months at a time for those two periods of time. And it was never helpful at all, and I hated it, especially when I went in, like, early high school or, like, yeah, like, middle school or early high school, I forget. It made me so anxious that the entire experience was... I love that we're eating hot dogs during this very serious conversation, because every so often, just a wiener will hit the plate.
wiener. Oh my god, that reminds me of the JV. Just the...
Welcome sorry, back. Just, oh my god. Yeah. Everyone go listen to the JVU podcast. They're better than us.
What was it? The she thing?
Soaking. We can't talk about this while we're eating hot dogs. I can't allow it.
Sorry, continue.
Okay. I just took a big bite. Hang on. I wasn't able to get anything out of therapy when I went in, like, late middle school, early high school, because I was too anxious to even talk to the fucking therapist. And it didn't help that it was my mom's therapist, so I didn't feel comfortable with her in the first place. So it was just, like, a source of anxiety for me, in addition to all the other anxiety I was dealing with. So I was really worried that it was going to just be that again. But it's like, at this point, what did I have to lose? I really didn't, especially because I got really good insurance, and it cost me $0 to go to therapy. So as soon as, like, I had a conversation with my dad, which was weird, because my dad and I weren't really, like, close this time last year. We were driving. A lot of this time is very hazy. I remember very little of those 2 years, to be honest. But we were driving and we were doing something. We were running errands. And
oh, wait, I think I know where you were going. Hold
where
on.
Where were we going? Please tell me.
You were going to some hotel up in, like, West Palm or something that he would go golfing at or something like that. But you guys would always eat at this one place. This is very, very weird that I'm holding on to this memory.
You remember everything. It's amazing to me.
It could be wrong, though. Like, I don't know. Maybe there was, like, something about a game. Like, not a sports game, but, like, some type of buying a game or something. But there was, like, a weird amount of driving for whatever reason. Like, you were stuck in a car with your dad for, like, 45 to an hour and a half or something.
It was a long drive. And, don't remember where we were going. Don't remember how we got to the topic. I just remember being very anxious because that's all I ever was. And I always knew whenever my dad got me alone, he just would be like, so what are you doing with your life? And that is the scariest question you could ask me.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of asking me what I'm doing with my life, he asked me, hey, do you think you should, like, go talk to somebody? And at the moment, I was offended. because I'm like, fuck you, Dad. You don't get to tell me I'm broken, essentially. But I kind of thought about it for a while, and I'm like, yeah, he's probably onto something there. So it helped that, like, at least one of my parents was on board. My mom was not on board with me going to therapy. At all. You know this.
Yeah.
So it helped that, like, he had already sort of opened that door, and then I was just able to, like, a month or two later be like, yeah, so I thought about it. I'm gonna do it. And, I don't remember where I was going with this, but... So, yeah, it helped. It wasn't just, like, I decided I'm going to therapy. It was talking to you. It was talking to my dad. Excuse me. So it was helpful to have, like, people who were encouraging me to do it. Because you've always been staunchly go to therapy. You've always been very into that.
Like, I never had great experiences, but I do know it helps.
Right. That's the thing, is that neither of us at that point had really good experiences in therapy. My mom had it.
Mm-hmm.
My dad had never gone to therapy. Nobody I knew, like, firsthand had good experience in therapy, so it was hard to convince myself it was going to be worth it to go.
But at this point, like, you had really, like, besides going to get, like checkups and just testing from doctors, mm-hmm. like, you hadn't really done anything for yourself, like, tried to do something that was just, like, on your own, your decision.
Yeah.
Like... And this is, like, the first thing that you said you wanted to do.
Yeah, that's true.
So I was
true.
Like, no, you need to follow that if you want to
that's
do it.
True. Yeah, that's true. I had a really hard time. I still have a hard time, like, when there's, like, a thing that I want because I never know if it's a good idea or not. And it's like, fuck that. There's no such thing as a good idea.
That's like one of the best things, like, you do is, like, you're always very encouraging. Like, if someone says they want to do something, like, the amount of dumbass things I've brought to you, and you're like, yes, do it. And then it really, like, it's so helpful to hear that, because then it's really just on me if I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I always want, this is so off topic, but, like, my thing with friends is it's, like, I always just want whatever they want for themselves. I want them to be and do the most of whatever they can be and do.
You're so good at that.
I'm glad, because that's really, like, what I want to be as a friend, is just, like, I want to take all of that you are and just say, do more of that, because I love you. So, I love you, and I want to see you do all the things that you want. It's and become all the things do. That you want to become.
Yeah.
So even if it's dumb shit, that's you, baby.
I am the dumb shit.
And it's so hard. Like, I feel like we live in a time, these fucking hot dogs.
You don't want to stay. They're lone hot dogs.
We live in a time where, like, there's a lot of things that we feel like we need to do and that we should do. And it's like, everybody needs somebody to just tell them, do what you want. Who gives a shit? And that's my goal.
Well, I appreciate it and I love you.
Anytime.
But so this is, like, the first thing you brought to me where I was like, you know, I can do that for you. I can be like, hell yeah, go do that. But yeah, so
it really helped.
You talk to people and you decided yes.
And then I went, and Dana was great.
And that wasn't easy, also, because, like, all the people around you had, like, not great experiences, and right. You had a history with it already. Like,
it was hard, and I went in with very low expectations.
Also, this was off the back of my therapist falling asleep.
Well, this is the thing. That had happened, what, like, 4 months before?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I was prepared to have to make, like, multiple appointments with different people and, like, try it. Mm-hmm. I was prepared to do that. Because once I had decided I'm doing it, I'm like, okay, well, now I need to do it and it needs to work or else I'm going to look wrong.
Which, God forbid.
God forbid. I can never, ever, ever be wrong. Which I hope I'm getting better at, too, now that I'm not just...
No, you are. I didn't mean to, like, poke at that.
No. I'm like, well, it has to work because it's my last idea. And I can't be wrong.
Yeah.
So I decided if I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna fucking do it. I already went through the trouble of telling my mom, so I'm like, listen, the band-aid's already off. We gotta do it. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, I only needed to make one appointment and see one person, and she was great. I cried through the first three sessions because I was just so anxious. But if there's a place to do that, it's therapy.
Yeah.
Because they've seen whatever. They've seen lots. It was very distressing to go the first couple of times, despite the fact that she was very, very nice, because she would be like, so, what's your anxiety like? And I would instantly burst into tears. Because the only thing... Anxiety doesn't like it when you look at it.
It is a caged bear.
Yeah.
And it will not perform.
Exactly. But eventually,
what kind of saying is that? Sorry.
It's fine. Who knows? It's like a caged bear. Don't look at it. It's a caged bear.
Who lives in here?
My best friend. pretty much all of my therapy myths were immediately dispelled. All of my bad experiences were nothing like this. I was really expecting to do the TV show thing where you, like, talk a lot about your parents and your past and your history. Dana could not give less of a shit. She doesn't care. She's never asked me about it. It doesn't matter. She's like, okay, what do you want to do? And I figure it out. And I answer. And she's like, okay, how can we do it? and then I figure out and I answer her. Like, if I don't homeworks. Know. Basically, thank God she never gave me homework. She gave me homework one time ever. Because I'm like, oh no, it's never, I can't make this school. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she was always just like, all right, well, here's what we're going to do. And then we'd do it. And then she'd be like, how'd that go? And the answer is usually bad. And she'd be like, okay, here's something else. And then we do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was like really, really good because that's exactly what I needed. Like, I could sit there and talk about my feelings all day. I think I've always been pretty self-aware of my issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know this. How many times did we have froyo therapy in the front seat of your car?
A lot.
And just cry about our issues. I can do that all day. That's not challenging.
Yeah.
So it was very challenging to have somebody actually give me actionable tasks to accomplish or fail at, and then sort of judge where I'm at based on my ability to succeed at actual tangible things.
Also, like an adult.
Yes.
Talking to you like you're also an adult, but yes. You just need help.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
That was also really helpful.
Because it's like, she's not trying to fix anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a guiding hand.
Absolutely. Hang on.
That one's closer to you.
I'm lucky in that both of my parents are very generally supportive in a lot of different ways. But it was very helpful to have an objective adult who's just like, she's got her own kids, she's like a functional person in the world, has a job, has like a steady relationship, has her shit together generally, as much as like anybody does.
Mm-hmm.
Just sort of be able to tell me like, okay, these are appropriate feelings, these are irrational feelings, this is a good plan of action, this is maybe not a good plan of action.
Like the Hot Topic decision.
I forgot about the Hot Topic decision.
The fact that you weighed the legal job and the Hot Topic job.
This is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Is that like, I didn't know if that was a good decision or not, and nobody in my life was able to give me like an objective,
mm-hmm.
helpful decision about whether I should work at a law firm or Hot Topic. And my therapist looked at me and said, Izzy, don't work at Hot Topic. And I said, well, okay, she said it. And she was right. I would not have done well working at Hot Topic. And I'm doing much better working at the law firm.
We would not have gotten this apartment.
No.
If I had a Hot Topic.
If I was working in the mall, I don't think we would be here. So yeah, it's really helpful just to have like a third party whose only investment in you is to like help you figure it out. That's their only job. They have no sort of stake in
And you're
anything.
Not even paying her.
And I paid her $0. It's great. Sometimes she does just say things because I think she likes the drama.
I like that about her.
I respect it. Like, I think she gets bored sometimes with me saying the same things over and over because that's all I do. I'm a fucking broken record of a human being. And so one time I was talking about how I was stressed and having trouble with time management, and she says, maybe you should just get a relationship. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, Dana?
I'm like, she figured out the stressed part, I guess. Did not figure out about the time management part.
I'm like, that sounds more complicated. She's like, yeah, you're right. But that's what's cool, is that, like, she's a person who could just say shit, and then I could be like, yeah, or I could be like, no. And that's what's nice about it. And, this is another thing. I was very, very worried about a therapist giving me shit about being gay. Dana is confused by it, but has never given me any actual shit about it.
Mm-hmm.
She tries to, like, ask me about it as though I have, like, issues, because most gay kids have issues about being gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have told her point blank, like, listen, you're, like, 6 years too late for the gay crisis. I'm fine. We're good. But other than that, she's been totally cool about it. No issues, which has been A+, because I was worried about that, because there's horror stories out there. Shout out to Dana. This episode is dedicated to you, Dana. And maybe next episode could be dedicated to Abby's new therapist if it goes well.
We'll check back in.
So I talked a lot.
I like hearing you talk. What do you think, like, so you have a good therapist.
Yeah.
You're on good drugs to you.
Mm-hmm.
Drugs that are good to you.
Yeah.
Do you, like, still struggle with stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Do you still struggle with stuff?
I struggle in general. Yeah, for sure. There are definitely... I think I still experience everything that I experienced before, just to a degree that it's manageable. So it's, like, I still definitely do get anxious. It's just that I'm able to, like, take my anxiety and say, stop that. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. and then it listens to me now.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, the antidepressants, like, shrunk everything down to a size that I'm able to just, like, wrangle it a little bit easier. Because, like, it's... I still definitely do... The thought patterns don't go away just because, like, the chemicals are better.
Mm-hmm.
There's still definitely times where, like, I fall into the same sort of, like, thinking patterns. But it's so much easier to just go, no, that's ridiculous. Like, stop that. Stop right there. We're not gonna do this.
Not today.
Not today.
Or tomorrow.
And most of the time, like... when my anxiety starts to get bad, it's because, like, I don't feel well, or because, like, I haven't taken good care of myself. I need to eat, I need to sleep or something, because my body goes haywire if it's not at perfect
equilibrium.
Perfect equilibrium at all times. So
calibrated each morning and each night.
carefully. I'm a house of cards at all times. But I'm definitely more resilient than I was, because it used to be that I was just this eggshell calm, and then anything would happen and I would shatter into a million pieces. And now I can take a beating from my anxiety before it starts to get bad, where I can I can think a lot of shit and then still go, no, we're good though. It's fine. Like, I can acknowledge, I can look at it like a bear in a cage. And I can acknowledge it, and I can say, no, thank you. And then I turn around and I walk away.
See, my bear in a cage, I feel like I mostly throw things in front of it. I throw whatever I possibly can in front of it.
You distract yourself.
And ignore it for as long as possible.
Yeah.
And then I'm the bear.
But then secretly, you've been the bear all along.
Yeah.
You thought it was the bear in the cage that was an issue, but it's the bear out of the cage that's an issue. What is this metaphor?
I don't know, but I see it.
But yeah, I know this about you. As soon as you start to feel bad, you start to want to do some dumb shit.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that you don't want to do dumb shit when you're feeling okay, too. Because you do. Because you're just like that, you're kind of like you're an adventurous person.
I think
like
the perspective's off. Like,
yeah.
One's for fun, one's to like.
Yeah. You're feeling
suffocate.
Yeah. Yeah, you're trying to drown yourself. I would definitely say I recognize that.
And it's like, I think like with the disguising part, or just like distraction,
mm-hmm.
it really, like, it turns into like weird self-hatred and insecurity so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, at that point, it's like I can't stop it. Like, it's too far gone. Because I think I definitely manage at like a low level depression forever.
You do, because you've been I was depressed for 2 years. You've been depressed for like 20.
For exactly 20 out of the 22 years.
Yeah.
For some reason, I feel like that tracks. But like, I don't know how to talk about this. This is why I have a therapist.
Yeah.
I haven't met yet, but I think like it turns into just like extreme, just like insecurity, to where I feel like I'm just like a burden, and I can't talk to people because I shouldn't have to talk to people about this. And I think I hate how quickly it gets away from me.
Yeah.
Because like it just kind of like tumbles.
Yeah, you escalate very quickly. You go from being okay to not being okay very fast.
And it's like, I recognize now, just like in a blip, in a blip when I'm, like, awake and above the water. Like, I can realize that, like, if I just tell people how I'm feeling in the beginning, it doesn't get so unmanageable at the end.
Yeah.
But, like, mine definitely turns into, like, suicidal thoughts and, like, it's always been like that, kind of, like, ever since, like, middle school.
Yeah. I think that's probably effective, being depressed for so long and since so young. Because, like, I have a lot of friends who have been depressed since, like, you know, elementary school, middle school. And that's sort of something that, like, all of y'all have dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, when you're a middle schooler or a teen, it's, like, you don't have the sense of permanence that you need to understand what life is going to be like. No teenager does. Mm-hmm. Every teenager thinks, like, they know everything. They know exactly how it's going to go. And it's, like, going to be bad.
Especially, like, feeling like an adult at so young, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it feels like, oh, you must live with this. So nothing ever really progresses past it. Might as well
not live with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, like, I very much, like, know I have people that care for me around me and who I can, like, talk to. But, like, in those moments, it feels, like, extremely lonely.
Yeah.
And it's, like, I know these are things that, like, so many people feel. But it feels, like, humiliating and embarrassing when you're, like, 22 and should have moved past this. But, like, also this is the not treating it part.
Right.
So, like, I think what's worse is, like, mine isn't so much, like, physical. Like, I've never really had a problem with, like, hurting myself or anything like that, which I know a lot of people deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like, I do get myself into situations that, like, ultimately do hurt myself.
Yeah, you have the self-sabotage.
Yeah. And it's not, like, so much just, like, spontaneous sabotage. It's just, like, well, what's there to live for now?
Right. Might as well do this.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Who's gonna get hurt? Me? Oh, no. What a tragedy.
And I think, like, a part of my brain that when it, the depressed part of my brain, like, feeds off of that shit.
Yeah.
So, like, I, like, definitely just, like, shut everyone else out because, like, I guess, like, a huge fear of mine is, like, hurting other people around me, obviously. I don't think anyone wants to.
Right.
But I think, like, no one wants to, like, bring others down with, like, their energy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm usually consciously, like, aware of, like, my energy and how other people are feeling. Like, I've always been, like, super susceptible to that.
Yeah.
And I've always, like, tried to be there for you, like, when you...
Oh, yeah.
Like, got like that.
Yeah, you've always... There's never been a time where I've needed you and you've not been there.
It just... Like, I don't know. Like, it was super hard because I felt like I couldn't... I don't know. It's still hard talking about this, like, out loud.
Yeah.
So I guess it's hard when I don't know what I need ever.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, it's never gotten past this point,
mm-hmm.
really. Because at this point, I normally would just kind of, you know, coast on feeling okay until something happened, mm-hmm. and then I don't.
Right.
And I think, like, the move really, like, affected me.
Yeah.
It, like, I don't even know how to talk about this.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's understandable that the move would affect you for, like, a lot of reasons.
It was.
There's lots to unpack there.
I will... Okay, when we were at lunch that one day, I will not forget being asked, how's the new apartment? And crying. Out in public. I forgot. Public,
like, what lunch are we talking about?
Out in public, yeah. Where everyone could see.
It happens, man.
And, like, there's been, like, little instances of, like, that, like, when we went to Washington, D.C., where I'm, like, not the type of person to just cry.
No.
Or, like, be overwhelmed super easily. And I think, like, a lot, and, like, I'm so grateful, obviously, that you were able to, like, make the decision to do all these things, mm-hmm. and, like, really try and help yourself. Because, like, I don't think it would have gotten me to be able to cry in public to realize, hey, this might be an issue.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it does. Things escalated to a point where you were gonna cry. Like, I know what you're saying.
Okay. And, like, I don't know. This last month was, like, really difficult. Just because, like, I don't know who that person is.
Yeah.
But, like, I do know who that person is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's the bear outside the cage.
It's the bear. I'm the bear.
You've been the bear all along.
And it's hard realizing, like, no, that bear is in a cage. And that I'm not the bear. Right. I'm the cage. I don't
know what this... I'm not the bear. I'm the cage.
I don't know if this metaphor has lost me. It's gotten away.
It's hard, and it's, like, a lot of that stuff, like, you can't help it. It's the brain, man. It's gonna do it. Like, there's shit that is just truly irrational about depression. Mm. Like, you could be surrounded by people and feel completely alone, and that's just, the chemistry's just gonna do that. Mm. Like, you know, there's a reason everybody with depression, like, has these symptoms, and it's 'cause that's the chemicals, baby. You need serotonin real bad. And, like, you're gonna get stupid if you don't have it. But it's, like, I'm impressed by your ability to always sort of just deal with it, and when it comes, and then bounce back. Because you do. Like, even, like, obviously this most recent time was, like, more concerning because you were, like, in the pit for, like, longer than usual.
Yeah.
I would say normally these things pass, like, in, like, a week or so. Normally I'm able to tell you, like, if it's a Tuesday, I'll be like, by next Monday.
Yeah.
You'll feel better.
But this is, like, a solid, like,
this was a
month
bit.
And a half.
Right. And usually you only get like that when you need to quit a job.
And I didn't quit this one.
You'd only just gotten this one, to be fair.
You're right.
And we are now trying to quit this job.
Yeah.
But certainly the job didn't help the matter. But usually there's like a solid thing that you need to do to like get yourself out of the rut.
Mm-hmm.
Usually quit the job.
But I always wonder, like, I'm like, is that still a distraction? Like,
I mean,
probably.
Probably, but it's also a way of changing your material circumstances mm-hmm. in a way that like breaks your brain out of the routine of feeling like shit. So I guess it was hard to see you that sad when like a lot of objectively good things were happening
mm-hmm.
and like there was no solution, capital S solution, to the problem. So I was like, what's gonna break her out? What's gonna do it? If she can't quit Starbucks, what's gonna do it? But like even when it is just what it is,
mm-hmm.
you do bounce back out of it. Like you make it every time.
I do make it.
You make it every time. You can't say that you've ever not made it.
Not yet. I don't think I'll ever get that chance. Yeah. Because, like, the last time I think it got bad, I moved in with you.
Yeah.
And this time it got bad, we moved into an apartment.
Right.
Which is really the one thing I've ever wanted.
Yeah.
And so, like, it was so disconcerting because, like, everything really was going so right. And for the most part, everything really has gone right in the last, like, you know, 2 years, mm-hmm. two and a half, 3, since I, like, moved in and
things
really made that change.
Steadily improving for you since then, yeah.
So it's, like, it was hard for me to see, like, this is a huge improvement, and I feel the worst.
Right.
yeah.
But, like I said, moving is hard for anybody.
It feels so simple. Like, it feels so dumb.
It seems so simple, but, like, it's really hard. It's, like, it's unsettling to begin with. And then you unpack all of your issues, and then there's a lot of that. You unpack your boxes, and along with it, you find all of your trauma.
And I hang up these skeletons.
in my brand new closet.
Yes.
Because it's, like, you know, the first time you moved out wasn't great.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Your family continued to not be around.
Yeah.
That dug up some shit, you know? So it's like there was plenty of things that this, like, kind of unearthed. And it was just, like a extremely new thing in the first place. So it's, like, stressful for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, It's just when you're depressed, your brain takes all of these things and it goes, oh, I can't do anything without this. And it just lays down and lets everything bury it.
What it does is it says, oh, this is a problem, isn't it? It points to it.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if it's not a problem yet, it will be.
Right. It just, everything feels unmanageable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just, it feels...